Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the Church, teachings on the body of Christ. In this session, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The Church grows sensitive. Jesus had great ears, always picking up the cries of those around him. He didn't just hear, he listened. And we are called to love one another. John chapter 13 and verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And we are to show people, we are to show love to all people. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The kind of church we should long for is a caring church, one that works to be attentive to needs within the family of God and without. What can you do? Well, tune in to Jesus' frequency. Ask him to train your ears to be like his ears. A church which grows more sensitive is a church which works at being a caring family. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, down to verse 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. And then you go back a little bit to verse 32, to verse 35. Now the multitudes of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. What was attractive about that early church? What do you appreciate about your own church? Let me give you five characteristics of a caring church. First, a caring church meets the needs of the powerless. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, down to verse 52. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and the cross. Even as he approached death, he was sensitive physically, socially, in every other way. Second, a caring church obeys the commands of the Spirit. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to verse 16. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Let me ask you, have you rejoiced or mourned with someone recently? How did it make you feel? And let me ask you, how good are you doing? How good are you at doing that? Sincerely entering someone's joy, or comforting someone. And third, a caring church loves the members of the body. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perforated, has been perfected in us. What reasons did John give to encourage us to love? Well, love is of God. The one who loves is born of God, knows God. He who does not love does not know God. God loved us. What is the extent of his love? Well, Jesus died that we might live. Jesus died to pay for our sins. That's the gospel message. We sinned. We deserve punishment. We deserve to die and go to hell for all of eternity as punishment for our sin. But God loves us, and because he loves us, he wants us to be in heaven with him, not in hell, separated for all of eternity. And so he sent his Son, Jesus Christ. He sent him because of his love for us. He sent him to die on the cross to pay the penalty that we owed that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. And we just have to confess that. We believe that. We put our trust in him. We put our faith in him. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And then all we have to do is reach out and ask. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Unconditional love, agape love, reveals the Spirit's indwelling. You need to remind yourself to love the unlovable. Someone said, our ears are not made to shut, but our mouths are. And fourth, a caring church meets the needs of the forgotten. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, Are you Ziba? And he said, At your service. And the king said, Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to him, to the king, There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. And so the king said to him, Where is he? And Ziba said to the king, Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodebar. And then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. And then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Here is your servant. So David said to him, Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, According to all that my lord the king has commanded to his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both feet. So did David bless Mephibosheth because of obligation? Now he took on the concerns of another and treated him as a member of his own family. Grandparents, parents, children, without one to love or to be loved. And then fifth, the caring church seeks the unity of the brethren. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem another better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. The secret of unity is revealed, and the keys to unlock it, having the mind of Christ and placing others before yourself. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And then verse 9. Therefore God has also exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Jesus humbled himself and the Father exalted him. 1 Peter chapter 5 speaks to us, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What is the relationship between unity and humility? Being concerned about God and others before your needs. Pray that God will give you the ears of Jesus and watch how listening with the ears of Jesus affects you and others. You think about that, and you have a great day.